Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, man. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cut, baby.
Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout out to the live Queen of Trap show on Friday night, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it is, what it ain't, what it do, it's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob, and Off the Cuff Radio is always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Please don't call me crazy or take this the wrong way, but life, it doesn't faze me. Not sure what to say, but sometimes when I get high, I think I'm God. You better praise me. You better get down on your knees, oh baby boy. You wanna play me? Fucking praise me. They say girls don't have an ego. Please don't run your mouth like that. But all these fucking people, I wish they could feel how I feel, but they don't.
To somehow hide the pain. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect.
baby, you keep feeding me this pressure.
You better praise me, you better get down on your knees, oh baby.
fucking praise me.
Time to time, and sometimes we gotta ad lib some things, you know what I'm saying? Because Some days we might have our guests being late, and sometimes they don't show up at all. So we got to ad-lib for a little bit on what's going on.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And one thing about it is, even if it don't always go according to plan, we're always going to call that all the bull that's going to be so incredible, man. So, you know, while we wait for our guests to come on, you know, we're just going to go ahead and kick it like we usually do around this time. Y'all know how to go. King, my brother, what's going on, man? What's been happening so far today and this week in terms of the
And I was watching episode 2 of the Kanye West documentary, and it's pretty good. It's brilliant work, man. It's brilliant work right there. I think anybody, even if you're not a fan of him today, I got to respect the man's tenacity and his willingness to grind and to make himself a star. Because the old Ye, he was hungry. The old Ye, he had ambition, and the old Ye wanted to be heard. Because look at this, man. 2002, Rockefeller was like, what, the Lakers of 2000? They were kicking ass.
That's hard.
They were kicking ass, man. They had an all-star lineup. And, you know, Kanye coming in that situation as a producer slash rapper, he wasn't going to really stand out. What I liked about some of the scenes there was he never stopped working. Like, he wanted to make his album because he wanted to tell his story. Like, you get to see what he went through with the car accident. There was even scenes where Rockefeller, they cut his budget. They shelved his album. And he had to go into different people's studios to record the joints. And there was some real dope studio sessions there, too. That's what I love to watch about these documentaries, is that you get to see these studio sessions. You get to see where the magic is being created. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And one thing about it, about Kanye, but though for clarification on this show, yes, I have said some things critical of Kanye that I felt was ill-timed and even irresponsible. But I will say this on the air. One thing you will never, ever, ever hear me say about that man is that that man is not talented and he is not a genius. I don't agree with everything he has done at times. I don't agree with everything he has said. But when you look at how he has created, and like King said, the tenacity, the determination, the drive, the unparalleled belief that he had once he really got his mojo running about what he was going to do and achieve, you have to respect somebody who had that scope of how he was going to do it, like Sinatra said, his way. And it's always going to be on, you know, when we think about his legacy, King, by the time, and we by no means want him to go anytime soon. When his legacy is written, it's going to be a lot of, it's going to be uneven on a lot of levels. There were comments that he has made, the slavery comments, you know, the run for president, the just the outburst. That's going to be looked at because that happened not only from what he said, but how he said it and did it in such a public fashion. On this show, we get wild and crazy, but we are never out to skewer. We may just skewer, which is, you know, in show business terms, just to have fun with, but we will never impale or harpoon to harm somebody's credibility or reputation. We just call it on this show like we see in terms of what people do. From having said all, yes, as commentators do. And having said all that, one thing about Kanye Omari West is this. Musically, he has created sounds that have defined a generation, that have inspired so many, you know, behind him. You got to remember, Kanye's been in this game really over almost 25 years, you know, in terms of, you know, when he started, some of his early production credits, like the infamous Syndicate album, Changing the Game, released in 1998 on Relativity Records. If you do not have it, please go pick it up. It is a classic. It is a hip-hop gem. You know, and a lot of times, King, we look at his actions that have gotten in the way of the music. Because one thing about it, for all of his shenanigans at times, that boy has given us some special stuff. I mean, producing, you know, the Brown Sugar joint, you know, the, you know, the, you, I mean, of course, with Faith singing the hook, you know, most on the beat, most on the rapping. I mean, we look at what he did with College Dropout album. We look at the mixtape he dropped before College Dropout. And my per, and in my Kanye, in terms of my Kanye, pantheon in terms of albums that he's made, I have to rank, my favorite two have to be College Dropout and Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And to me, on Dark Twisted Fantasy, Ye just hit an apex to me that he has just never surpassed. To me, after he did that album, I think he just reached his peak of what he just, I mean, that album was just incredible. I didn't care for some of the ones that came after that. But, you know, the man still, when he is focused, when he is locked in, he has created some gems, and we can't deny that, his brilliance. And we're not going to dim his brilliance, but we have had comments about stuff
he
has done.
You know what, though, if you really look at it, he's always been that way, but his mom was the anchor to pretty much mold that arrogance from fully coming out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always had that confidence, seeing big dreams mentality, but he didn't come across as too arrogant to where he rubbed people the wrong way. The confidence was actually captivating. Like, you wanted to see this guy win. And his mom helped mold him that. His mom was rapping his lyrics. His mom was, you know, celebrating with him when he first went platinum with College Dropout. They had a real, not only a mom and son relationship, but also a real good bondship because she believed in his vision. Even when a lot of people at The Rock didn't believe in him, they wanted to keep him as just a producer. She was that anchor that kept him moving. So when he lost that, he never really recovered because look at it like this. You got to look at the timeline. She died around 2007, and 2007 was where he was really reaching his apex as a, not just a rapper, but a rock star, like a celebrity, you know what I mean? Because he had beaten 50 Cent in that, you remember that sales battle, that Fugazi sales battle that Def Jam and Interscope did?
Yeah, and it was wild.
Because, you know, that's where he really broke out to be a rock star then. And then that's where she died. And he never really recovered from that. He never really had time to grieve, actually. Because,
you know, King, go ahead.
Yeah, because now when you're the supply and demand like that, like his stature, his stock done rose into megastar levels. Like, you up there with the A-listers now. You up there with the Jay-Z's. You up there with the Beyoncé's. You up there with the Eminem's. I ain't talking about skill set, but I'm talking about as in popularity. So he couldn't just take a break. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and when you look at it, King, you know, King, when you're that creatively driven as he is, it doesn't necessarily allow for rest because there's always things going through your mind. Him and his mother were close. Rest in peace, Mother Donda. And, of course, you know, he really went through a lot emotionally. You know, the tragedy from the after effects of the surgery, he carried that with him because he paid for it, and he felt like, in a way, that he was the reason she died. So that's a hell of a burden to carry with you. When, especially as your mother, you feel like you're the reason that she's gone. And did that do something to him? Absolutely, because that was the emotional tether that kept him anchored in a place of humility and stability. And once you lose that anchor, you're totally in a whole other place of going in different directions of inordinate, unpredictable, spontaneous reactions and actions. You know, it just, it becomes a wildfire of, you know, of just all over the place behavior. And for him, and I want to choose my words very carefully, King, when I say this, there are elements of a genius that you have, that I have, that were all a little nutty in that way, because genius is about being able, smart people can see the target and hit it. The genius sees the target before the target is there and hits the target before the target even shows up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they already know what's coming, and they've already honed in on what to do with it. And when you look at Ye in terms of how he wanted to not only define music, but define fashion and pop culture, there were the rants, and a lot of them, about how these fashion designers wouldn't let him in, you know, so he basically was going to force his way in, and he did. And because of that, you know, he has amassed quite a fortune doing it. You know, that is estimated to be at $1 billion, you know, from what Forbes has said. So obviously he has found his audience somewhere. And when you have that type of success, you, especially when you've done it on your own course of your creativity, there is going to be a bit of aha, I told you so. There is going to be that vindication of what people thought you were absolutely nuts doing, but it worked for you. I will tell everybody this. There is only one Kanye Omari West. I would not suggest for people to do the same thing he did to get famous.
Yeah, you niggas can't go out there, if you got 30 fans, you can't go out there and charge your album $200.
You know, and one thing about it is, you know, you have to understand, you know, for people that have really watched Kanye over the years, we've kind of come to expect certain loony behaviors from him. That's kind of become his branding. But that was just kind of a progression from where he started. And if you've been listening to our show ever since we talked about it with so many guests we've had, you know, we've all talked about, you know, substance versus shenanigans. But one thing about Kanye, even with his shenanigans, he has a hell of a catalog to back it up. You know, and like I said, for what he does, it's kind of expected from him to do something crazy. I tell some of these artists today, you can't be him just coming out there doing some loony shit and you're expecting to be, you know.
You got to have the resume. Because you have the resume to back a lot of that stuff up, man. You can get away with it. You can build that, what I like to use, the cult of personality, where you can get away with anything. He has the resume to back it up. He has the hit records. He has the success.
When you look at somebody like Nipsey that sold the Crenshaw mixtape for $100, Nipsey could do that because Nipsey already had his buzz out in L.A. Rest in peace to King Nip. You know, Hermias the Excellent. He could do that. When you look at MF Doom, one of my favorite MCs of all time, one of our favorite MCs of all time, MF Doom crafted, when you know the story of how he became MF Doom from Zev Love X and KMD, when you understand the story of how he came up with that spinoff of Dr. Doom from Marvel Comics and how he adopted that as his own identity, when you understand MF Doom's story behind that, then you understand the genius behind why that character worked for him. When you look at, you know, rest in peace, Shock G, you know, Digital Underground, who was Shock G and Humpty Hump, you know, that was just something special, you know, to behold in terms of the classic. You know, all these individuals were, you know, had their own brand of creativity, entrepreneurship, and individuality with their imagination that made them the legends that they were. And they, I can't say, King, that you can calculate how to be a legend, because it's really up to your catalog and then how your fans receive it. You know, sometimes we get to throwing legend around too loosely because we're looking at sometimes getting caught up in the emotion of the moment rather than looking at the legacy that was really entrenched by what they did. Was Nip a legend? Absolutely. Because look at what Nip did before he even got on a, you know, before he even released Victory Lap. He was already moving ahead. When we look at Pop Smoke, rest in peace, was he a legend? Pop Smoke made good music, but he was still in the nascent stages of carving out his legacy.
See, what that's all about, it was better than what we were talking about the other night with Pat and Royal Flush. See, it wasn't real. The symmetrics is different when it comes to people buying records and streaming records. He became a star just off of streams because his album was streamed heavily like crazy. But the real stars and the real buying power stands from when a person drives their ass to that record store and buy your album or order your album for that matter. When they could go and buy that product physically, that's when you know that you have a base. Anybody can manipulate numbers. Streams are manipulated every day.
Absolutely. You know, and one thing about it, King, as you said, you know, there's, when you look at all the modern legends, we look at Tupac, Biggie, the impacts they made, you know, that was our generation. We're still hurt today because we wonder how much music was lost between the both of them. We look at our modern day legends, Jay-Z, Nas, Kool G Rap, Razzcast, Richie Rich, Cocaine, who is the most featured artist in hip-hop history, you know, with over 5,000 features. I mean, Snoop Dogg, Spice One, you know, Special One, rest in peace, and CMG from the Conscious Daughters, you know, Scarface, Fat Joe, Papoose, you know, we got up-and-comer legends like R.J. Payne, you know, who's really going to really change the game. You know, we look at producers, you know what I'm saying, like Big Swift from Rap-A-Lot, Mike Dean, you know, Mike and Keys, you know, Kool and Dre. I mean, shit, Premier, Dr. Dre. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the list goes on of people, you know, whether they were producers or rappers, who really, legend is when, you know, and I've said this on the show before, and I'll say it again. I didn't come up with this, but when I heard it, I knew it was applied. History, to make history is one thing. It's another thing to be part of the history. Because you know you've truly defined history when they can't talk about the history of something without you. When you have to be mentioned in terms of how you cultivated history in any capacity, that's when you know you have really become a staple, a fixture, and a legendary figure in it. You know, and that's just what it is. Yeah.
Exactly. So, definitely check out that Netflix doc, man. Y'all going, that's a hip-hop history that a lot of people need to check out for, man. Just, even if you're not a big fan of Kanye and what he does these days, it's a gem to watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But nevertheless, yeah, so, man, you know what, though? I'm going to go, we got to go do some music real quick, though, man. I want to play this joint here for my man, Crooked Eye. And it's tight, man. It's called Life of a Bandana.
Stand up.
Life of a Bandana. You know what's dope about this joint? He flipped. Nas is I Gave You Power.
Ooh. Okay. Let's get it.
So, I got to give y'all a joint here. Because we originally played this on Screwball Radio months back. But on Off the Cuff Radio, I want to give y'all this gem here. So, here's King Crooked, Life of a Bandana. We'll be right back with y'all shortly to build a little bit. And if our guests don't come tonight, we'll just postpone it and we'll bring her back. It's no love. So here's King Crooked, Life of a Bandana. We'll be right back with you shortly.
Damn, look how niggas use me and shit. I can't say shit either. They just do whatever they want with a nigga. Ball me up, throw me in the corner. It's like I'm a bandana. Damn. I'm a bandana. Like the American flag, I seen soldiers die over me. See mothers cry over me, wiping their eyes, holding me. See, I was neutral till my designers put some colorful dye over me. Red or blue and change my design totally. Cover me in paisley print to give you fashion. Till gang members gave me power, now I'm cut from a different fabric. Depend on which pocket you stick the rag in. I'm usually peeking out the back of some dicky sagging. Born in a factory, shipped to the swap meet. Put up on the shelf along with others of different colors. I seen somebody's arm reach, picked the one that was the color purple like the movie. Guess he was repping Grape Street. Days went by, I'm just chilling in the store till my future owner walked in the door. The hat he wore had old English letters across it that read Long Beach. I saw it, Chuck Taylor's walking across the floor. He pointed at me, I was happy, I finally made it out. We jumped into his blue Challenger, music banging loud. We pulled up to his weed spot, cause he was slinging loud. Tucked me in his left back pocket, now I'm just hanging out. Yeah, everything was cool till he did him some dirt. Tied me round his head, ain't your mama style while sipping some surf. Ran up on his enemy and instantly went in his shirt. Changed his whole energy, I think this nigga's berserk. Did it in broad daylight so all his ops could learn a lesson. Before he sent him to heaven, start yelling the turkey reppin'. 30 years of life killer took it in 30 seconds. Then he used me to wipe his fingerprints off the murder weapon. People filming the victim, they ain't conscious to himself. They unconscious as him, ain't even offered do some help. We sped off in the car, my owner talking to himself. Said it's his enemy's fault, he brought the coffin to himself. Had to show him what was cracking. He went home, changed clothes, showed up to his son's birthday party like nothing happened. Left me in the car, tied around his rear view mirror. The windshield clean, nothing can make my clear view clearer. I seen a truck pull up, thought it was family trying to fall through. Until they jumped out in bright colors, I think they dime move. My relatives tied around their faces, these niggas pyro. They saw through the Challenger's windows and knew I was all blue. One said, yeah, that's his car, he getting knocked off. Kicked in the door to the party, start letting shots off. Leaning against the living room wall, that's where they caught dog. Poor kid, 12th birthday, he seen his pops fall. His auntie rushed to his dad, said they shot my brother. Shot my brother, they got my brother. Oh God, please, not my brother. Somebody call an ambulance, please. Somebody go and call my mother. His gold watch covered in blood, it was time to kill. Them niggas did it, then them niggas peeled. That shit was real. My owner always said that this banging would get them killed. The way they did the Crip was so cold-blooded, I get the chill. At the funeral, his fam and his crew tripping. Head stitched up in the casket, cause half of his roof missing. His suit dripping, his homie just laid me across his chest. Cause even after death, this nigga ain't through crippin'. I'm starting to gain clarity, just bury me with the nigga who carried me. I don't want no more gangsters wearing me. It ain't cool to die before your parents, and apparently the hood got mental problems. You all need some therapy, now here come Jeremy. That's my only son, the one that seen him blasted. Staring in the casket, face plastic. He told his pops, go ahead, rest in peace, daddy. I'ma take care of mama, go ahead and sleep, daddy. You know I'ma be just like you. Then he picked me up, said now I'm about this Crip life too.
Right, we back. What you think of that, T-Max?
I mean, it's definitely in that pantheon of speaking from the perspective of firearms. Of course, you know, Organized Confusion did it first in 1994 on Stress the Agenda album, the Extinction Agenda album, with Straight Bullet. And then, of course, Nas did it on It Was Written in 1996 with I Gave You Power. And, I mean, Crooked Eye, Long Beach legend. You know, what can we say about Mr. Dominic Whitliff? He just dominates the game. For those that aren't familiar with Crooked and everything that he has done over the years, which has spanned over 25, a lot of people don't know that he was signed to Virgin Records when he was 17 years old. You know, I mean, the dude is a lyrical wordsmith that is one of the most tenacious, one of the most viciously visceral, you know, with the verbs, you know, nice with the nouns and just sick with the similes. Dude, we would need 2 hours on the show just to talk about everything that he's done.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Apex Predator album he did, the stuff he did with Slaughterhouse, the features that he's done. I mean, God, I mean, yeah. But that's crooked. We just know he's going to do it every time. What can we say?
Yeah, because crooked, he also indulges in that podcast lane, too. He has a podcast called Crooked's Corner, which is pretty cool. And he went through some funk with that because, you know, they took it down for a minute. But hopefully he get that back to get some legality funk that happened. They took his show. They took his channel down for a minute. I think it was something to do with the Eminem interview. I don't know. But he's still sharp with it, though, bro. I mean, he's coming with a new Slaughterhouse project, I believe. I heard about this today. Joe Ortiz posted it up on Crooked. It posted it up. So we might see something. I don't think it's going to happen with Joe up there, though.
Yeah.
But Joe ain't doing no music.
Nah, I mean, well, we know how it is with Joey. So, yeah, he may decide one of these days he'll get in the mood to do it again. But that's him.
They should have just, I'm going to tell you this, man, and it's just me being me, bro. I don't think they need him to make a dope project.
No.
Royce?
No, they don't.
Crooked and Joe Alonga carry that joint. Joe's bipolar energy would throw everything off.
If well, one thing about Joe, he...
Nigga. Just replace that nigga. Get a solid spitter and replace him.
Well, one thing about Joe Budden is, Joe, when we think about it, King, Joe's been in this game almost 20 years, probably right at 20. You know, of course we knew him back in 2003 when he did Pump It Up. That was when Def Jam was running the big hype machine around him. You know, calling him the first-round draft pick. You know, there was great expectation. His first album was not bad. It was definitely something that, for the time, was within that. For what the sound was in the early 2000s, because it was 2003, so we're still seeing, you know, the East Coast is still kind of running it a little bit, but then we're seeing the South begin to make its come up. But thinking about that time, King, early 2000s, what do we have in, you know, from 2001 on up? We had, of course, Nas with Stillmatic. We had Jay-Z's Blueprint album. We had Lakey the Kid, you know, when he dropped the 41st Side compilation. We had Cormega, you know, who dropped The Realness and The True Meaning, you know, back to back, 2001 and 2002. We had 2000, we had Nelly with Country Grammar. Cool G Rap dropped the John Connor story in 2002. So we had a lot of music coming out during that time. You know, 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying, 2003. Snoop, you know, Pay the Cost to Be the Boss, 2002. You know, Fat Joe's Jealous One Still Envy, 2002. I think Loyalty, I think that was 2000 and, was Jealous, was that 2001 he did Jealous One Still Envy, and then Loyalty came out in 2002? I'm getting my dates mixed up, King. They call me T-Max with the facts, so even I can get the facts fucked up at times. But anyway, those both, I know for a fact both of those albums came out within that decade. So, Joe's album for the sensibilities of the sound, where the music was at the particular point, it was definitely within that. But he just never gained traction. Does that mean he's a whack artist? No. I mean, because we've seen a lot of artists who drop dope albums that it just didn't get the promotion or the public just didn't receive it well when they did it. But in the year, over the years, we've known Joe to have some very real, you know, mental health struggles, which we can say on the air because he has talked about it. He's talked about it in magazines about things psychologically that he has been through. So at times he has not always been the most up in terms of dealing with things, in terms of how to handle celebrity, fame, and sometimes just the day-to-day life. When Slaughterhouse was brought together, it was the coalescence of some of the biggest names in the industry at the time. Of course, Crooked Eye, Joel Ortiz, you know, Budden, you know, Royce. You know, so you're looking at four of the biggest MCs during that time. The mixtapes were dope. I believe that was the first one that they did. I can't remember what it's called, but I do have it. You know, it just, the albums they dropped, you know, were dope. They just never really stuck with the listening public. Doesn't mean they were horrible as a group. It just depends. But you got to remember Sue King when those albums came out.
Part of that has to do with artist direction. But Joe and Eminem, you got colossal egos within there anyway. And you got Crooked and Joel. And Royce, to a degree, ego. But see, you got Crooked and Joel. They're humble guys. They're willing to play any position to play.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Joe and Eminem and Royce, they probably got the ego clashes, and that played a result on the first album, which was whack.
Right.
So, a part of that also has to do with the fact that when you sign on a major, it's kind of like they trust Eminem's ear because he's Eminem.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, one of the biggest stars in the world. So they're going to follow what he said because, you know, we want to sell records. What they messed up doing was they end up trying to channel Eminem's sound to them, and you can't do that with those guys. You just got to give those niggas a dope beat and let them rip it to shreds. The same thing that happened with Cannabis in his debut album. Like, people didn't want to hear that weirdo shit he was talking about. You know, rapping as a damn sperm. Nobody want to hear that.
Yeah.
Give them niggas some dope beats and let them rip it to shreds for 15 tracks. Maybe 10.
Right.
That's all they wanted. And on top of that, give them different people like, you know, Premier, Alchemist, Buck Wild. You know, people like that can really give them that energy, give them that aggressive beats to rip. That's all people wanted. That's how you direct it.
Yeah.
But I guess what happened was they trusted Marsh, they trusted the M's ear. And Joe, you know, being Joe Budden, it threw the chemistry off.
Yeah. One thing about it, King, when you look at certain artists, like when we got to touch back on the Cannabis thing for a minute, there was a lot of rumors surrounding that album. You know, and anybody in YouTube can fact check me with what I'm about to say in terms of the aspects of it, because Cannabis during that late 90s was a microphone terror on the mixtape circuit. I mean, the boy was just, he was doing it. And he garnered a lot of interest from a lot of producers. You know, there was, you know, a lot of rumors. I mean, everybody from Premier to Dr. Dre and Buck Wild. I mean, it's just a short list. I mean, that's just a short list of people that were rumored. Pete Rock, that's just a short list of rumors of people who wanted to get on that record because they were like, yo, this kid is special, and we want to be part of this. And, you know, Wyclef from the Fugees, he basically hijacked the whole project where his thing was he was going to do it. And, you know, Cannabis was like at the time, he's like, this is the dude that put together the store. He's like, how am I not going to have him do it? But Clef, for the beats that he had. It didn't fit Cannabis' style, and conceptually, Cannabis got into a weird place where the record was not a true reflection of who he could have been in terms for what his talent was and for what and for who wanted, you know, allegedly to be on the record. I won't say allegedly because that has such a negative context, but who rumor-wise wanted to get on it, it's not sure. You know, that's just something that, it's just something that we'll never know. I mean, his debut was not good. I mean, we just got to call a duck a duck. It was not a good album. And, you know, it's one of those things that, especially when you look at Tom King, the 90s was, we were about to see a situation where we were going into that next millennium. So music was changing to a degree. And it's one of those things, just like, you know, in show business, you know, your first impression could be your best impression or your last impression. And he never got back from it, you know, and then some of the ill-advised career decisions he did, especially wanting to take on Marshall. Whew. I mean, for what Marshall did to Benzino was ugly. But for what he did to Cannabis, he flipped Cannabis's own style. In dissing and diss albums and diss records, I have never seen an artist imitate somebody's style and just straight fund them like that. But as we've known for years, Eminem is just a totally different type of MC. And there are certain rules in rap. One of them is, in the many rules of rap music, don't ever cross Marshall, because Marshall will poke fun at people, but Marshall is not someone who really gets out there trying to hurt people. But if you go with Marshall, Marshall's bringing the whole artillery with him.
You're lying. He's bringing the whole cannon, dude.
Yeah.
He bringing a whole cannon, man. But...
I mean, Marshall.
Nevertheless,
yeah,
man, we about to go ahead and I got to wrap this up a little bit early. I got to take care of some things. This laptop is about to die on me. So what we're going to do is we're going to still keep this in the book. We had some great dialogue. You see what we do?
Absolutely.
That's why I'm gifted off the cuff radio really is, man. We still can deliver dope dialogue even though we have to call an audible at times, because when you're doing live radio, things don't go according to plan sometimes. So you got to just wing it how you want. But that's what makes us stand out from the rest. We know how to bring interesting concepts to the table. Y'all niggas got to sit there. Y'all need a guest to eat. We don't. So check us out this coming month. This is the March Madness year right here. And what do I mean by March Madness? We're going to be hitting y'all with some Hammer Niggas. We got some surprises lined up. So y'all really got mad last year? Hell, even the last two shows we did with Royal Flush, Matt Maul, y'all really about to get heated with the aces we have up the sleeve for March. That's why I call it March Madness. That whole month is going to be hurting y'all.
Definitely. So we got more in store, and we got it, and we got the stop ready to rock. So come by, you know, to see how we do it.
That's right. So we about to sign up out of here. We're going to be taking an off day off on Friday because we got to come back with March Madness. We got to come back with some fire. So everybody enjoy their Fridays. We're going to let the competition breathe a little bit because when we come back on March, which is not too long, it's next week actually. y'all getting a week enough to eat. You know what I'm saying? So we giving y'all a week to eat.
tonight, and you know, we're just gonna be like King said, we're gonna be back next week, ready to bring it back like we always do.
You know it, son. So what we gonna do? I'm gonna finish this with some music right here. I'm gonna hit y'all with some heat right here. What we gonna see? What we got on the table right here? Now see, I gotta get something that's gonna make you stay on the air. That's what I do with Off the Cuff Radio. I know how to pick the gems.
Yeah, send them out with something super, man.
Oh, you know I am. You know I am. I'm looking through that list right now. Big shout out to my man Comet. He sent me a lot of bangers. And I feel like a kid at a candy store right now because I don't know what to choose. Damn it. Oh, yeah. We're going to hit it with this one here. RJ Payne, Hell Fury.
Hey, yo, it's DJ K. Slay the Drama King. I don't think y'all ready for this shit right here. Hell's Fury. Five of the hottest services out here. About to set fire to your ass.
Who nicer than Pat Poose? Is this even a combo? Squeezing the condo, leaving the John Doe. Eating up y'all flow. We got even the arsenal. Swinging the swan slow. Stick the knife deep in your heart hole. You leaking in sorrow. Like OJ, I speed in the Bronco. I'm breathing in all smoke. We can fight you weak and you soft, bro. Leaving your jaw broke. Speed up a Charlo, weaving a combo, cheap as your car note. Got the key to a condo, don't mean you a boss though. Cause I heard you leasing it all, ho. Shoot like Ray Allen, Celtics back when he was with Rondo. Beating the charge though, represent features with large for you sick to your stomach. Like a dog, weeping with Parvo, y'all some wussy rats. Pussy cat, keep flipping Mongo. I never heard of you, but when I unleash with this golf flow, you gon' make the papers. Extra, extra, read it tomorrow like the color purple. Feels like I'm reading the novel, so I ask who are you? Like when Squeak was speaking to Harpo. Handguns in the back seat, we let it bang. AK in the front like academic's name. Piece of Biz Markie, one of the hardest to live. Came in his biz and made his mark, you just a mark in his biz. Peace, King. Undercover haters, and most of them only call you King when they want a favor. You a bird, I got the thing cock. Wanna be Rick Ross, niggas think they fly till they get their wings stopped.
My niggas let the hammer pop. I wield a sword like I'm Lancelot from Camelot. Y'all niggas dance a lot. LV on the pants and frock. I make a show of catching internet trolls on these streets like Chris Hansen got. That boy pleading for his life, come get this camera shot. Tried to light his ass again, but the handle hot. Damn, shit still in the trunk, ain't get the chance to swap. Fuck it, put it back in the tuck, outside the sandwich spot. It's like a bad sitcom, you can't stand to watch. Got that boy good, too bad, I was a fan of Hot. Fuck it, bring it back to the rap and already ran the block. Jersey shit, niggas don't care if that's your man's or not. He gon' get this work, we ain't coming for no chit chat. Hear that click clack? Better duck behind that shit shack. Depending on the time of the day, you might get bitch slapped, or you could get sprayed like bitches pulling they clip back. It's crazy in these streets, y'all playing with the beast. I was born into this game like I was painted on the reef. I'ma say it with my chest, my niggas say it with the heat. And you can't tell them shit with that ADHD. Medusa head all on my shade when I'm lookout. Somebody yelling shot like a stage at the cookout. I'm like, goddamn, can't take these niggas nowhere. So when you see me, peace queen, you don't need to go there.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
They murder you while they chant purge for me. With the scope on his burner, I could do end surgery. Fall in order, we all in water. You can't murder me. Verbally, I will murder thee. Inadvertently, hurt of me certainly. We major, you taking soldier steps. She spent all your check and still ain't blow you yet. I give a COVID test. My pedigree is the letter G. And only competition I ever see is the better me. So let it be. You fucking with a psycho hyphen, lipo knife and rifle hiking. Swipe the like you fighting a bunch of Michael Tyson. Fight you hear the lightning strike when I flow siphon. I blow hydrants, pyro sirens, gyro sirens. I snap with no gyro license. You wanna travel, nigga, try them all. You think I'm for the dialogue? Die a frog, really that? I'm bucking lead at your sacroiliac. See you fucking dead, it's a necrophiliac. I'm usually with the Millie Mac. Defying gravity like I could pop a wheelie back. These niggas trying, but I'm really that. These shots mandatory, we'll make sure he's fully vaxxed. They make sure he's fully packed. Niggas,
Man, what y'all thought? Y'all thought this shit is over with? Man, we ain't even start yet, man. This is a true art form of lyricism, man. Bringing this shit back 360 degrees. Let's go.
These niggas blowing smoke mad like glass dicks between a fiend's lip. We burning dope fast. I had your whole team greenlit. Pass your bruh head around a thread like a seamstress. They looking to be embraced by other kings. That's why they queen flip. Bagging keys, nick shit. Anything that'll get the clientele. To take my liberty back, have figured stack cases to giant bell. I was baptized before I was advertised and reformed. Why these rappers die, I'm watching it happen live. Andy Cohen. We grew up on Mortal Kombat. We Sega babies. He say he played me. He A-B made me be a baraka. The babysitter ladies will let me see they barakas. I'm an 80s baby, 18 spread, he's B.A. Baraka, huh? You too poor for war, you can't afford the more. Or a coma, you on promo tour, you on a Norbs phoner. Talking about who the new Scarface, I go Brad Jordan on him. Before Corona, I put a hole in your son, that boy gon' need an organ donor. Smoking on your disrespected dead pack, stink weed. Catch you doing a drink champ, make all your niggas drink pee. To withstand the fentanyl, the bricks tan, the pink keys. I did it all with quicksand. May charge you niggas sink fees. My Britain thing just adores the Gucci party. Yours being Dior with a pause and really yours be. The whole picture changed when they start seeing these Ferraris. But when I pull back, it's like y'all just BTR'd me.
I bought this mini Mac. It stretched as long as my arm sleeve. Clips so long, look like I'm launching a palm tree. This week on a song, you get stomped in the concrete. This sound like Biggie Smalls riding through Compton with Mobb Deep. Leatherface's return, hesitate and get burned. Murder your favorite rapper and desecrate in his urn, bitch. I'm the bomb, my detonation confirmed, I'm blowing up. This when Nas had to separate from the firm. Woo! I'm winning regardless, bitch, my pen is retarded. A limitless artist, this is a mix of venom and carnage. Nigga, I'm independent, don't gotta blend with the garbage. Niggas lost, I feel free as a max 10 in a forest. So fuck your top 10, I'm top 5 now. I got the juice, connect with me when your Wi-Fi down. Your gun big, so what? How a tripod sound? Special effect. It look like something a sci-fi found. I got a gun so big it can't fit in the Uber. Fuck it, Royce is the grave digger and my sister the shooter. It's a fact, Pat is the Terminator. Dig the maneuver, Corey kinda like John Connor. Boy, that kid is the future. I blow through this chronic, I broke through the bondage. I'm DJ Vlad, whatever gets shot, you know who behind it. Nigga, this vocal bionics, I'm past supreme. Ask the fans, I'm half man, nigga, half machine. It's pain. Man, y'all see what the fuck it is? Hell's Fury, K-Slay Drama, King of the motherfucking building. RJ Payne, Papoose, Corey Guns, Rod Digger, Royce the 5'9". 2022 shit, man. Step your bars up and get the fuck out the arena. Some real hip-hop. I'm tired of this bullshit going on out here, motherfucker.